Stay up to date on the green and gold all off season. The Green and Gold Fix podcast is brought to you by Potawatomi Casino Hotel. Luxury stay, elite play, unwind in sophisticated comfort. Win big, dine, and experience the events in Milwaukee. You probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know I'm here in this big city we're in.
Jason, he's a sheriff. He'll flash his lights, but let me go.
I'm really sorry. Brian, I'm sorry. I should have managed to flock better. Thank you for your service to be willing to stick around for longer than you're scheduled to appear. The great Brian Bulaga joins us on Will, Dean, and Tosh. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Blue, where was your trip? I don't want to put your business out on the streets, but you just went somewhere fun, didn't you?
Yeah, I was in Scotland for a week golfing.
Oh, you dog.
God, they call it golf there.
Yep.
You play the old course?
I did, yeah. Played the old course. Unfortunately, we played it, and it was 40-mile-an-hour winds. The caddy said,
flight. You got to pierce.
Like Scotland.
You got to pierce it.
Yeah. The caddies were telling us that if the Open or any tournament was being played there that day, they would have postponed the match until the wind got under control. So whenever they say it's really blowing out here, it's really gusty, I'm never buying it, because they really protect these pros. They don't want to see them suffer the way I did out there. You're talking aiming, 50 yards to the left and letting the wind just push the ball back into the same hemisphere as where the fairway is. Oh, it was, shot shapes. It was mostly the way the wind was coming in. It was mostly left to right shot shapes. And it was tough. It was tough conditions out there. I still shot, 85? Still played good.
Yeah, I'll take that. So, did you go over the hotel? And we'll stop golf talk after this. But 17, you got the hotel. You got to hit over it. Did you take that line, or did you bail out left?
I went over the hotel with a 4-iron, because it was a little it was a little downwind, and to the right is the way the wind was blowing. Downwind to the right, so I took it over the hotel, starting a little bit left, and the wind. I still ended up just in the rough, not in the bad stuff, just in the rough. And I made 5, because that green is not easy to hit.
Yeah, a little road hole green is tough. Tough road.
Oh. I'll tell you, the ball hits that green, and it's like concrete. It, like, hits it, and it just bounces off the green. It's unbelievable.
Wildy would have shot a 400 out there. Wouldn't you? 400, not a 200, would you? You old rascal. All right, Blue, Jordan Love contract talks. That's what got us, we're a little bit late to you today. We don't know. Jason doesn't want to predict. I don't know if you heard all of the dialogue with some of the other beat people that were actually interviewing Jordan at the time. But if you were Jordan Love, a couple shots at you, sure. If you were Jordan Love, do you report to camp if you're making $11 million and you should be making 53?
Yeah, I think I would still report. I mean, I really think that this is going to get done. I really do. And again, from his point of view, he has to know, and his team knows too, like his agents and everything, like they're going to get the money that they're looking for. And I just feel like if he doesn't show up, I mean, I'm not saying it paints him in a bad light, but like we've talked about this before, he played really well at the end of the year, but the body of work to hold out because you haven't gotten a new deal yet isn't necessarily there yet. I don't know, maybe if this was his second year, technically going into his third year starting, if we were to look at it that way, and he had performed the way he did last year, the last 2 years, then yes, I totally understand him holding out and being like, you know what? If you guys don't think that I've provided enough on the field for you guys to just pay up, then okay, I'm going to sit out. But, you know, he played really well, like I said, for the last half of the year. He is, but he just doesn't have the complete body of work yet that I think would be necessary for a quarterback to just not show up. Like, I just don't see that happening with him. And, yeah, he's going to get a little testy about it. I mean, if you guys keep asking him about it, which that's your job, Jason and Domofsky, you guys are going to keep
not
pressing
me.
His buttons
I
on
him. Not me. I wasn't there. As Taus made sure
he was a Rudy Ford.
Oh, okay.
Zane well, you know, Anderson it, and I you know, getting tight.
I was going to say, you know, he keeps getting asked about it. He's going to get a little testy, which I understand it. But I think this thing gets done and it's all water under the bridge come either by the start of training camp or middle of training camp, I think it's done.
So let me ask you both this then, if I can be part of the conversation, at least briefly, before you go back to ripping me. How can we say that he doesn't have the body of work to hold out and not come to training camp if he doesn't have a deal done? And at the same time say that based on the timing of this contract and what he did in the second half of last season, he has an argument to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Can you yeah, be both I mean, those things at the same time?
So first off, and this is no rip on him, I don't think he should be the highest paid quarterback in the league. So
I agree.
I'm just being super honest there. Like, do I think he's going to be a fantastic quarterback and continue to play the way he did? Yeah, I do. I think he's really good. I just don't think he's highest paid in the league. But, you know, how these contracts work themselves out for quarterbacks, it's going to be what it's going to be. But, like, I always feel like, at least when I was playing, and there weren't many holdouts. I can't even really remember a holdout in my time with the Packers. I don't remember a guy never not showing up to training camp, to be honest with you. Maybe there was, and I forgot about it. But you would normally see guys that – or you look around the league, the guys that do it. A lot of the time it's guys that I would say are pretty well-established within their career, right? They've achieved a lot. They've accomplished a lot. They really feel like they're underpaid. And they're holding out to make a point about it. And, like, I'm not saying that he hasn't accomplished because, yes, he did play well last year. Again, I'll continue to say it, and I want to stick up for him and say that he should do whatever it takes to get his money. But, like, I just don't see this as the right opportunity to hold out for him right now. I just don't think it's the right time for him to hold out because still at the end of the day, I still feel like if he does everything right, say he doesn't get the deal done by camp, but he shows up and he's performing well and he goes to these joint practices and he's performing really well, this is all just ammo for him in negotiations. Like, it just makes his case stronger to the team if he's performing well in camp, performing well in the joint practices and showing this is who I am. What you saw last year is who I am. It's time to pay up for what you've seen and what you're going to continue to get. So I just don't think it's the right time for him to hold out, per se. I mean, maybe you guys feel different. I don't think it's the right time.
No, I agree with you. I just, again, if it's not done by the start of training camp, which you guys both think that it will be, I don't know what to think because he did not. If it was as close as we want to believe it is, I do believe that the tone would have been a little more lighthearted yesterday, even though it was, you know, he and I know you listened to it, Brian, while you were waiting to come on. The bottom line is that his agents owe it to him to get the most they can. And their track record would indicate that they're not – it's show business. It ain't show friends for these guys. And so I do think – and that you guys know this from having been players. Your agent's job is to be the bad guy, right? That's their job. Like, you get to be the good guy. Hey, I want to be there, but hey, you know, it's a business thing and I got my people handling it. And so I'm sorry I'm not there, or I'm going to not worry about it. I'm just going to focus on football. All the things that you guys would say when you're in those kind of situations, that's the job of the agent, is to take the heat, to take the shrapnel. You know, it's my fault my guy's not there because we haven't gotten it done. But do I think it's going to come to that? No. If you make me pick, I don't think it's going to come to that. But I also think that when we're talking about generational wealth and life-changing money, as much as I like Mike Tannenbaum, the idea of playing on a $11 million contract this year would be malpractice. He deserves more security than that.
So then you'd advise him to sit out if he doesn't get a new deal, he shouldn't play. Yeah, and I think to Brian's point, it's just different at quarterback, and especially the fact he's only done this for a season. So I don't think he should play for 11 either. I think he should go in, work, and continue to showcase his abilities to his front office. And the tricky part of this is going to be for both him and his agents. The Packers probably feel really good about paying him a certain amount if it's $50 million. But in 2 years, when Jordan Love signed a 5-year deal and it's, you know, averaging 52 and he's playing at a high level and all of these other quarterbacks are making 60 plus, that's when, and we saw this with Aaron Rodgers when he was underpaid. You have that, and you have to kind of think through how is that going to work? Because it's not about what you've done in the past. That shows what you – it's what do I envision him doing in the future? That's how they're paying. And they envision him being one of the best players in the league. So I would disagree with Blue on the fact that I would bet his team is saying, we need to get paid more than what Joe Burrow's getting paid right now. Because we know that when Patrick Mahomes gets a new – and Josh Allen and everybody else is going to fly by sick Dak Prescott, they're going to fly by 60-some million. This contract – a 5-year deal in 2 years is going to look like we didn't know what the hell we were doing. And that's the tough part and why this is such a complicated negotiation that they're dealing with.
Well, yeah. Are we going to break? I was going to say, I don't want to mess up the,
you go ahead with your thoughts.
You don't want to mess up the clock that we have two segments left before the 10 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock.
Yeah. I don't want to mess up anything, but I agree with Tausch that his agents have to look at it that way, and I'm all for that. And I'm not saying that his agent shouldn't look at beating Joe Burrow's deal. Like, I think that should be their goal. That should be what they want to do. And if they're able to get that, I'm all for it. I'm just – what I was saying is that I don't think, at least right now, I don't think he is the best in the league, but the quarterback position – as we've seen with the contracts, that doesn't really matter, right? Like, it's always right. Whoever's up next gets the next biggest one, and that's just the way it goes, kind of, right? Like, so I understand kind of what his side is probably thinking, and from the Packers' point of view, they're probably trying to pinpoint this thing down to where he is based on other quarterbacks, and unfortunately, that's just not the way it works, like, with the way the modern quarterback contract goes. Like, it's just – it's whoever's up next gets the next biggest amount, and you roll from there. And that's probably where they're at a sticking point right now would be my guess.
We'll keep rolling with Brian Bulaga and our outstanding clock management. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you. Back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know I'm here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some friends.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga, Iowa, and Scotland. You hit the ball over a hotel?
Yeah, you get it. It's a tough line. You got to do it.
Is it like 2 stories, 10 stories? Like, how high is the hotel?
It's a big hotel. So, like, what it is there's, in front of the tee box, there's part of the hotel. And then the patio in the entire hotel runs a little bit further right of that, like, bar or hotel, whatever that is in front of the tee box. The hotel's all down the right side. Like, it's all right there. Like, you are right on the golf course if you're standing at the Jigger Inn, which is a bar right there, and you can watch people play. Yep, that's the name of it. And you can just stand there and just watch people play 17 all day. And it's literally the bar patio is right on the course. So, yeah, I mean, there were times where, you know, before we were getting ready to play golf in the morning, and we'd have our back patio door open, and you'd hear balls hitting the hotel and hitting the roof and things like that, because people are spraying it. And that's just the way it goes.
All right. So, Brian, I'm curious. You know, I was getting a little bit of grief for talking to Zane Anderson yesterday when Jordan Love started. But Zane Anderson had three interceptions in one practice, which I had not seen before, not even from a Charles Woodson in an 11-on-11. They were all 11-on-11. This wasn't like, you know, one-on-one wide receiver cornerback drills. These were in 11-on-11 periods. And he's a guy who's playing a position where he's competing with three draft picks. They've got Xavier McKinney. It was the kind of story that, as a reporter, you write in the offseason. Because realistically, Zane Anderson is going to contribute on special teams. They didn't draft Javon Bullard for Zane Anderson to start next to Xavier McKinney. But I am curious, given both of your times in this league, are there moments in the offseason program and in minicamp and in OTAs where guys can actually do something that changes how they're viewed? Or is this much ado about nothing? Like, Tausch, if you would have had a great offseason in 2000, but stunk it up in training camp, they're not starting you in Dotson's place when he gets hurt. They're just not. Doesn't matter what you were all Oneida during May and June. Brian, you were a first-round pick, so it's a little bit different. But I'm just wondering, all this time I'm spending at practice when they allow us to go, how valuable is this in your mind? How much does this matter for this team? Or does it not really matter until we get to July 22nd and practices start in training camp?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to see what some of these guys are capable of doing and how they look and how they're absorbing the new information from the new defensive coordinator and how they're kind of fitting in into the scheme. But I don't think, besides the obvious guys right now, there's no positions being won or lost at this time of year, right? Like, and it's really hard to take it's hard to take these types of practices and look at them as like, yes, that is what that guy is able to do in a real game consistently. Like, it's kind of like the what we used to call spring practice in college, like the season for no reason. That's kind of what the OTA process is right now. And listen, like, you want these young guys to go out and get this experience and have success to get confidence, but where you're really going to learn about them is in training camp, right? Like, that's where they're going to cement themselves and kind of show the upper management what they're about. Like, now, like you said, if he has a great OTAs, which it sounds like he's having, and he goes into camp and he doesn't really perform the same way or performs way less, then, I mean, it's going to hurt him. Because they're not going to remember what he did in OTAs, right? Like, that's kind of just a thing of the past at that point. It's all about what happens in camp and how he performs in camp, and not just in Packer versus Packer, but when he get, because he's obviously going to get a ton of snaps in the preseason games, right? He's going to play a lot of snaps in those games, and then the joint practices are going to be a big thing for him as well. So it's going to be what he proves during training camp. And that would be at least how I view
it. Wildy, it sounds like you got this guy starting opposite Jair.
I don't. But the reason I ask this, the reason I ask this is because I am trying to figure out what they're doing on the offensive line, and I'm wondering if it's the same deal, that I shouldn't be really reading too much into it. Like yesterday – they used Andre Dillard at left tackle and Jordan Morgan, who walked right in here when he got here and said he wants to protect Jordan Love's blind side. He was at right tackle. He's also worked at guard. But again, you guys have played the position. They're not in pads. It's shorts and T-shirts and helmets. Tausch, I asked you this yesterday while I was at practice about the running game. I don't know how much we are really gleaning about this offensive line from this offseason. And to me, Sean Ryan still has to prove it, even though they rotated him in a bunch. Rasheed Walker still has to prove it, even though he started 17 games last year for them. And the rookies have to prove it. And that's Jordan Morgan, just because he's a first-round pick. You know, again, you had a great career, Brian, but you didn't start right away. This old war horse was in front of you first. And so this was one of the things that I went into the offseason thinking, all right, I want to come out of this having a really good idea who they want their starting five to be. And I don't think I have any good idea. And maybe that's how it's supposed to work in the offseason with that position.
Yeah, but you have a pretty good idea of where there's four, and I think they want the young guy to win that left tackle spot at some point, maybe not the first week. Maybe it could be kind of like how Brian, you know, if there's an injury or if somebody's not playing well, and everybody sees the raw athleticism that Jordan Morgan has. You see it. You know that he is going to be one of those guys that can move and play the position. Now, whether or not he's got all the intangible things,
technique,
you don't know. But, and that maybe it'll take a little bit of time, but that's a case where you let that shake out and you're fine with it because you do want guys pushing each other. You want to make sure, you know, oh, if I'm a little sore, you want guys to have to fight through some stuff because they know that they're going to get Wally pipped if it doesn't happen. That's a good thing to have in your locker room, is that accountability that you need to be out there and to perform. And if you're not, there's somebody that is there. And I think to your first question about how important the spring is and everything else, totally agree. You're going to forget about how guys, Zane Anderson's three picks, even though fairly confident it's going to be chronicled in the State Journal at a high level soon. What it does allow you to do is it gives the coaches a look and say, we need to give this kid more opportunities to show that when the pads are on and in games and in joint practices, he needs to get more opportunities. Where if you're just a guy and you're not doing that, it's just going to stay, all right, ones get four, twos get three, and then we'll just throw the other guys some reps whenever we can find it. Your goal, if you're a young player, is to say, I want to figure out how can I get the coaches to put me in more so that I can actually show what I can do when the pads come on. That's what the spring and these OTAs and everything is about for most of these guys.
Yeah, and I think, Jason, kind of what you're seeing with the offensive line right now, I think they're just trying to get guys ready, mentally ready, to know when they go into camp what's going to be asked of them positionally, where they're going to have to take snaps at, where they're going to take reps at, so they don't get into training camp and then they put a guy somewhere and go, hey, figure it out now, right? They're kind of given, especially with the injury to Zach Tom,
right?
They're given, you know, Dillard and Morgan these opportunities to move to different spots and figure out where they're going to be tested in training camp because they're going to move Morgan around, right? Like, I think he's going to get moved to left, to right, maybe some guard. I don't know how often that'll happen. And then Dillard, regardless of how he's looked in OTAs, he's got a lot to prove, man. Like, he's not a guy that is just going to walk into Green Bay and earn a job. I mean, he's walked into a lot of places and has been given opportunities, and it hasn't gone well in the past. So he's got a lot to show that this scheme and this style fits him perfectly, and he's a new player now. And if it does turn out that way, that he fits really well into this and he's playing really well, that's a huge bonus for Green Bay. Enormous, that if he comes in and he's changed as a player and he's comfortable in the scheme and he's a guy you can rely on, that's a huge bonus. But he's got to prove that. Like, that's not something that he's shown throughout his career that he's been able to do, right? And that was with this Philly scheme, and it was with the Titans, right? And I think he was with the Titans. Am I right on that?
You're correct, yep.
Yeah, so he's had opportunities and it hasn't worked out. So he has a ton to prove. Nothing, definitely nothing is going to be given to him.
Yeah, remember the Titans, Blue. Always remember the Titans when it comes to Dillard.
I don't want them to gain another yard.
If Dillard is playing meaningful snaps, that means something has gone wrong. Dillard was brought in because Zach Tom popped a peck. If he didn't pop a peck, I don't think Dillard's here. So if Dillard is playing meaningful snaps, that means there's injuries, and that means that maybe your young guy's not ready for prime time yet. Now, it's Dillard's job throughout this part of the season, and it sounds like, you know, he's getting opportunities, and they give opportunities because guys are showing that they deserve opportunities. So kudos to him if that's what is going on. But I'm telling you, from the Packers' standpoint, he was signed as an American Family Insurance policy that you hope to never use. And if you are using it, it means, A, your analysis on your draft maybe wasn't as good, or B, something is with Rashid Walker, some injuries that have occurred, and you have to you're forced to play him out there. Because as Blue said, he's one of those high picks, and I always say this, high picks have to prove they can't play over and over again, and low picks have to continue to prove over and over that they can. And Dillard would fall into that first category.
And he's had opportunities to play.
A bunch.
A lot of opportunities.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of opportunities. So, listen, I hope for his sake that maybe he's turned a corner. Maybe he had an off season of reflection of where he wants to take his career, and this is a new start, and he's going to try to make the most out of it. But I just don't see – I mean, at least I haven't seen it. You don't see guys bounce around from team to team to team and finally land one in their third shot and be like, yep, this is it. It fits and it clicks, and the guy's now playing at a super high level at left tackle. Like, it's just very – it doesn't happen that way. You know what I mean? It just doesn't normally work that way, but I'm with Tausch. Like, if he's playing, something's happened that – they were not preparing for, or they didn't anticipate. And I hope that's not the case, right? I hope we get to week one, we have our starting five that is the best starting five, and whether that's Rashid Walker or Morgan at left tackle, because I think the other four positions, like Tau said, are pretty set. I think they feel good about four out of the five. And then it's just a matter of who's playing left tackle. And obviously that's a huge question. It's not a small question. But they have options available. It's just what option shows itself as the best. And they have three guys, Dillard, Walker, and Morgan. Who's going to win that thing? And that's what this is coming down to.
Yeah, and as long as Zach Tom continues, he started lifting a little bit, so that's progress for him. Again, I keep hearing that little Brian Bulaga voice in my ear talking about how playing the offensive line, coming back from a torn pec, is not easy. And so we'll see exactly when he gets out there. But he's got a lot on tape that he's shown that he can play the position. They don't need to have him back the first day of training camp. All right, Brian, you're on the farm. We will let you get to Jason and Kelsey, the donkeys, and the Orange Grove and everything else. Thanks for sticking around a little extra time today, buddy.
No problem, guys. Take care.
We will let Brian go. We will let Tausch tell us about Coors Light, and then we'll get to the 10 o'clock hour closer to 10:30.
Coors Light brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And you get done doing a hard day's work, getting asphalt laid down. There's nothing better than just sitting with the fellas, cracking open a cold Coors Light. You got to make sure the silver bullet, those cold activated bottles and cans are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. So it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.